Let's begin our nighttime relaxation. You've never felt more... Feel your eyelids getting... Now let yourself lay back and get a good night of... When cold and flu symptoms won't let you sleep, ask for Night Nurse. Its unbeatable strength helps put cold and flu to bed. Only available at the pharmacy counter. For cold and flu relief, visit dayandnightnurse.co.uk/verify for verification. Always read the label.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors. The Bay Area Betches.
Betches!
Megan the Slayer Taylor.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Hot dang! It's Jessica Dang.
Lisa Wallant. Now that's what I call Wallentainment.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Sarah Greenwood. She only uses her power for good.
He makes us squee. It's Richie D.
Jamie. She has no last namey.
Ashley Schiavone. She don't take no baloney.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch. Higher than high res, it's Lauren Perez.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the bird.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty Dowerty.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Hannah, God, I love that banana. Anderson.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Shannon out of a cannon Anthony.
Lourdes, the Lourdes of the Rings.
The incredible Edible Matthews sisters.
Give them hell, Miss Noel. Kelly Stump, the Stump Master.
Always ready for Nicole Passaretti.
One day you're Rachel's in, and the next day you're out.
No one can do it like Andrea Jewett.
Yes, we can, with Howley, Carolyn, and Anne.
Nancy Cease and DeSisto. We love you guys.
Well, hello and welcome back to the Watch What Crappens podcast. I'm Ronnie Karam, and over there is Ben Mantelker. Hi, Ben.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. You can find me over on the Rose Pricks Bachelor Roast podcast during the Bachelor season, which is coming up in a month. And you can find Ben over on the Real Housewares of Kitchen Island, which is a cartoon that he writes, voices, acts out, does everything, colors, does everything for over on YouTube. So go check that out, everybody. We have just come back from a very long break for us. I mean, we had 2 days off last weekend.
Unexpectedly. It wasn't intended to be as long as it was. But basically, what happened was that on Wednesday, it rained in Los Angeles. And when it rains here, just all chaos breaks loose. And what that meant for me was that my internet was out almost the entire, from basically 11:30 a.m. until about 5, 6 o'clock. It was just like spotty. And for those of you who don't know, we record over Skype. So we were not able to record. And I couldn't find a sub because it was Thanksgiving weekend. And so that's why there was no Orange County recap on Wednesday. So apologies about that. But the good news is that it gave me some more time to go fiddle around in the supermarket and prepare for Thanksgiving.
Yes, and the other good news is we are still doing those recaps, so they will be out. There's going to be a bunch of podcasts out today, so have a fun week, everybody. Listening to all of that. It was a great holiday. Happy Monday, everybody. Welcome back to post-turkey work. I mean, what a life.
What a life.
Before we get into Real Housewives of Atlanta today, let's talk about our live shows coming up. This week we're going to St. Louis, and then we're doing two shows in Philadelphia. So St. Louis has 12 tickets left, so thank you guys so much for that. Philadelphia sold out for the first show and still has tickets left for the second show. And what we're covering in St. Louis, we're going to cover Real Housewives of Dallas. Then in Philadelphia for the first show, we're going to do Real Housewives of New Jersey. And for the second show, we're going to do Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, the episode that inspired all of the cat memes with Taylor Armstrong.
Yes,
I don't know the episode number. Do you?
It's season 2, episode 14. Of course, you know, it's called Malibu, Malibu Party from Hell. Wait, I'm going to pull it up right now. Far be it for me to actually be prepared for our podcast.
Well, me either. Know? Jesus.
Malibu, it's hard. I'm in like a Thanksgiving hangover. Plus, I got a Thanksgiving cold, and I've just been like out of it. It's season 2, episode 14, Malibu Beach Party from Hell. It's the episode, as Ronnie said, that later led, like 10 years later, to Taylor Armstrong being the darling of the internet. So,
yeah.
I mean, we all have to recreate that in Philadelphia.
Yeah, so that's going to be a pretty amazing episode. And all of those are going to be great. And then after those live shows, we still got more in December. We're going to, the following week, fucking God bless it. The following week, we're going to Denver, Colorado. And then we're going to Seattle, Washington the next night. And then that'll be it for this year. Then in the new year, we're going to start it off on January 17th doing the 2020 Golden Crappies in Los Angeles, California. That is going to be our biggest Crappy Awards ever. It's almost sold out. So if you're in LA or want to go to LA, get your tickets. And then I'm going to list the rest of the cities we've got for right now. Are you ready? Detroit,
yeah.
Columbus, 2 shows in Austin, 1 sold out. Houston, Texas, Birmingham, New Orleans, Kansas City, Omaha, Salt Lake City, Vancouver, Orlando, Charleston, Oklahoma City, and okay, that's also Oklahoma. So go get your tickets, everybody. We sure love you. We can't wait to see you there.
And yeah, now, seriously.
Today, we have the Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Yes, I was very happy with this episode. At first, I was nervous. I was like, oh, God, are we going to have more endless scenes of babies and sniffling, like cry sniffling, not like me with a cold sniffling? I was really nervous, but it really came together in a very fun way. And I think the reason why is because I feel like the first few episodes of this season, all the women weren't really shooting with each other yet. Maybe they hadn't locked down Kenya's contract or they hadn't locked down Nini's contract or whatever. But they all, it seems like they're now, we're finally able to get them all in one place, which is great. Also, further proof that we don't need Nini, okay? We do not need Nini on this show, okay?
Not at all. What the fuck did she even do today? Fill a cheese plate? Barely. And then barely. She even needed Greg's help doing that. So I don't really need you. Get out.
Get her off the show.
Get her off.
Don't need her.
Done.
Yeah.
And so Kenya's pushing my, you know, Kenya's back up. I'm trying to start over and start fresh with Kenya. Huh. But, you know, these ladies are struggling. Kenya and Nini are both struggling really hard to have fights with people for no reason. And Kenya's exhausting. I'm already exhausted. No, by the end of the episode, I was like, Kenya, just enough already. Find something real to fight about. She's fighting about every... She's like Riley from Below Deck, just fighting about every little thing.
Well, no, except I believe that Riley was fighting about something. Like, Riley is often like... like the bears the brunt of obnoxious men, and then she speaks up. I feel like Kenya would just fight to fight because she knows that's her role. And you know, maybe she is a little rusty, but I was really happy for it. I enjoyed her shadiness. I enjoyed her messiness. I mean, you can't act like the second half of this episode where she was really on a tear wasn't more entertaining than everything we've seen this season already.
That's true. But, you know, one line from the previous season, don't worry, I just wrote down one line. Actually, I wrote down two. But
Say your truth.
She brought a gift, which I will be returning. That is very, like, Lisa Rinna and Kim Richards many seasons ago. And I just feel like she's, like, struggling in the Wayback Machine.
That's okay. I still appreciated I appreciated the drama that, the minor dramatic blip it caused.
Yeah. Okay, I enjoyed it too. And another thing I enjoyed, just as a macro, is that the babies are becoming such funny characters. Portia's baby is hilarious. It does not ever change its face. It's like a little tiny cute little blob of bored with life. It's like, really? This is my life? I don't know how you can be bored with Portia as your mother, but there you have it.
I'm gonna let you have that one because I've just not reached that point in my life where I ever think babies are that funny. I do. Unfortunately,
I literally think babies are hilarious at all times. I love a baby.
I know, and I just don't. I'm like, I'm really, my lane is cats. You know, give me a cat. I think everything they do is hilarious. Dogs, like some things they do are hilarious. A lot of things I don't think are that funny. And then babies really not registering on my comedy radar. Unfortunately,
you're just not having
babies. I'm sorry. And I'm blaming my cold on a baby.
Well, I will blame your cold on a baby as well, just because babies can't argue back. So yeah. I feel like we should blame everything on babies. You know, the economy, babies. Wars, you know, babies.
No, because you know my whole thing, which is probably a very insensitive point of view to take, but I feel like I'm entitled to it, okay, even if it's irrational. Every single parent is always like, oh my God, like, be sure to put on a hazmat suit because I have a baby. I have a baby. Guess who always gets sick? Not the baby. It's the adult every single time, okay? I'm sick of it. How about next time you put a mask on the baby?
Well, who does the baby get the sickness from?
Just carries it. The baby just takes it from the
carrier. Ben, children are our future, okay? Listen to Whitney.
I just can't be sympathetic to babies until this cold lifts, and then I'll be sympathetic again. But right now, this cold ruined my Thanksgiving weekend. I spent the entire time having to, like, lie down instead of getting to play my board games or hang out with friends who are in from out of town. I'm just in a place where I'm just blaming babies hardcore today. All right. I'm not pro baby today.
Okay. That's okay.
Thank you.
So we start with Trixie Monocle of Atlanta, who has been going to therapy because the song today is way different because I behave different. Way different because I behaved. I don't know what kind of fucking therapy song this is, but nobody needs to hear that in their music. Okay.
No.
Like, my therapist is great. I don't need that in a song.
Okay. Yeah,
I need an Ambien prescription and, like, mm-hmm. you know, some pats on the back and some help blaming everybody else for my problem, like babies. That's what I need from my therapist.
Okay. You need to be treated like a baby.
So Portia dresses Little Hot Dog, and her new obsession is bows. She's just putting bows all over the Little Hot Dog, and it's very cute.
Yeah, yeah, that's her thing. So she's doting on her baby, and then we see Eva driving around with her baby and her daughter, and then making fascinating content by, did you poo-poo? Did you poo-poo? You poo-pooed? You poo-pooed? Didn't you poo-pooed? Did you
poo-poo? Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know why we're criticizing that baby. We've had this conversation 90,000 times.
Yeah, I know. As, like, the owner of a tushy and a squatty potty, I mean, who am I to be shading Eva? I'm like, and I will talk tushies. About. I have two tushies actually, because my work husband and my boyfriend both got me tushies last year for my 40th birthday because they know me so well. They know Ben. Let's see, it's a landmark birthday for Ben. Let's get something so that way he shits better.
I just know you love talking about poop.
Well, I talk about it in, like, I feel like an average amount, but I know for you an average amount is just like an excessive amount. That's this is how much. I combat baby talk, poop talk. But I don't know, for some reason, I don't know if I enjoy talking about poop, but I don't enjoy when like Eva driving around in her car asking her baby if the baby pooped, if that's like, that doesn't to me, that's not the same. That's not the same content because there's nothing you can relate to with that. That's just like, I guess if you're a mom, you can relate, and I'm not a mom. So I'm in a place today, guys. I'm really in a place.
Well, it's okay. Don't worry. We'll have plenty more time to talk about babies pooping.
Okay, good.
So then Candy and Riley are shopping for new clothes for Riley because Riley's going to be doing an internship at a law firm in New York. And I was like, damn, Riley really, you know, like, she is so smart. I'm so proud of Riley for getting an internship. And later we find out that Candy just got it from her entertainment lawyer, which, yeah. Damn it, I should have figured that. But
yeah,
still, good Riley.
Good for Riley. I mean, especially at 16, doing an internship at a law firm. Like, that is so ahead of schedule. Like, although I think my brother interned at a law firm when he was around that age. But I still think that's, like, very, very ahead of schedule, considering she hasn't even hit college yet. She might not even want to be a lawyer, and she's wasting a perfectly good teenage summer in a law firm. Why?
Well, because you don't get penises in you from randos. I mean, at least if you're going to get a penis in you at a law firm in New York, you're probably getting it from some law-affiliated person, a lawyer, a paralegal, you know, someone with a job. It's not like just being a regular summer and fucking losers like the rest of us did when we were teenagers. Good for you.
Well, my brother, I think he was an intern. He did something. It was, it was very similar. My brother is basically Riley, and, my dad is a lawyer. And so he interned at my dad's firm, but he worked for the entertainment lawyer. And so this is like 1989 or so. And so, my brother, it's all coming back to me, which is that that entertainment lawyer represented DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince. And so my brother got to like have many like, hey, what's up moments with Will Smith. And it was like pretty much the coolest thing of all time.
That is pretty cool. And he's brought up a lot in this week's Married to Medicine, which we'll be recapping later this week. Will Smith, he's just all over the place this week.
Will Smith.
He's even on your lips. And I don't think you've watched Married to Medicine yet. But
I haven't. I haven't. But, you know, the truth is this. Parents just don't understand, which is what this episode could be called, right? Am I right, everyone?
God, Nightmare how's Will on... Smith like have gray hair now? How is that even possible? It's like just yesterday. Parents just don't understand, okay?
That's like a Ramona Singer song. Pretty much if you look at the entire DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince, DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince like discography, those are all songs that Ramona could have written. Whoa, parents just don't understand, okay? It's a nightmare on my street.
You know, parents are the same, no matter the time or place, okay? They don't understand that us kids are going to make some mistakes. So you, all the kids across the land, there's no need to argue. Parents just don't understand, okay?
Summertime. Time to sit back and rewind, okay?
I remember one year, my mom took me school shopping. It was me, my brother, my mom, my pop, my little sister. We all hopped in the car. We headed downtown to the Gallery Mall. And my mom started bugging with the clothes she chose. And I didn't say nothing at first. I just turned up my nose. And she said, "What's wrong? The shirt costs $20. I said, "Mom, this shirt is plaid with a butterfly collar." And the next half hour was the same old thing. My mother buying me clothes from 1963. I mean, it was 1963, but still.
Whoa, now this is the story all about how my life got flipped, turned upside down. And I'd like to take a minute, just sit right there. I'll tell you how I became the prince of a town called Bel Air, okay?
Wow. Okay. Do we have a lot of recaps to do today?
We have a lot. I'm glad we're really exploring this. Exploring this theory about Ramona Singer really being the second coming of DJ Jazz Jeff and the Fresh Prince.
But it is hilarious that the lyrics are, "I remember one year."
It really is. I'm looking at the lyrics of like the full lyrics of Fresh Prince, like the Fresh Prince, like the theme song. And it really is Ramona. "Well, the plane landed. When I came out, there was a dude who looked like a cop standing there with my name out. And I ain't trying to get arrested yet. I just got here, okay? And I sprang with the quickness like lightning and disappeared, okay?"
But wait, anyway, I hear the prissy bourgeois of that. Is this the type of place that they just send this cool cat? I don't think so. Okay, I'll see when I get there. I hope they're prepared for the Prince of Bel Air. That's it.
I whistled for a cab, and when it came near, the license plate said "Fresh" and it had dice in the mirror. And if anything, I could say that this cab was rare, but I thought, nah, forget it. Yo, Holmes, to Bel Air, okay?
Oh, God. So I'm not sick anymore, by the way, which no one cares. But I still have trailer park laugh. I guess I always have trailer park laugh. But today my laugh has an extra... As I laugh, you know when your voice has that like second Yoda in the back? It's like... Yeah. It's like Lisa Vanderpump, like, picking up a napkin off the floor.
I got it.
Got it. Okay, so Cynthia is being sexy on the bed, and her room is a damn mess with racks everywhere full of dresses she got for free from somebody.
Yeah, seriously. She's calling up Portia and is like, "Hey, I'm doing the... I'm doing the annual Bailey Q." I'm like, "Annual? You only started last year."
It's a
hallowed tradition.
It's not a Toyota-thon, okay?
Yeah.
This just started, Cynthia.
Although it is red. Yeah, so this year's theme is wear red or get red.
Yes. Last year, some people got grilled, child, and some people got grilled. Wait. Some people grilled, and some people got grilled. Okay?
Ramona just comes in to punctuate it. Okay. Last year, some people showed up and some people were shown up.
Yeah. Yeah. So she's talking to Portia on the phone to invite her. And she's like, now, listen, you cannot bring your baby to this party, okay? Like, I know you're a new mother. We get it. But please, whatever you do, don't wear a skin-tight a skin-tight silk dress with your boob pushed up to your chin with your baby, okay? Please. Only do 2 out of 3 of what I just said. And Portia's like, but I don't have a nanny. Is your mother busy? Because she's been in every other scene.
Yeah, what exactly is your mother doing? Your mom can do this, okay? This is your paycheck, okay? So, and Portia's like, well, we know that Eva's not going to bring her kid because she's still trying to get to know you, which was a funny shade. Funnier when she said it than when I said it in a very monotone way.
By the way, sorry to all the grandmas out there taking care of their kids who just got, like, whose stomachs just clenched when we were saying that. I'm just saying, like, how come Portia's mother can babysit her every other second of the day unless it's inconveniencing someone else, you know?
Yeah.
And I love Portia. Yeah. I don't know why I'm mad at her, but Bailey, is this a Bailey?
I'm mad, you know why? Because the whole nanny storyline has been done to death on Bravo. And I know this is her life, and, you know, it's not, sometimes it's not about a storyline. But at the same time, like, oh, God, if I have to see another thing about, oh, my God, what do we do with my baby? Like, who's going to take care of my baby? It's just, you know what? Like, task rabbit. I don't know.
Yeah, task rabbit your baby out.
Yeah.
So now we're going to go to the Jitterbug Performing Arts Center.
Yes, the Jitterbug Performing Arts Center, which is where Patti LuPone will be performing next Tuesday.
Yeah. Patti LuPone's like, all right, baby, lift your arms up.
Don't cry for me. Swaddle. I know that you always had nap time.
People of Argentina, listen here, little hot dog. I need your hand to be straight and your leg to be bent. Ah. So we're at the Jitterbug Performing Arts Center where I guess moms are going for exercise class and Portia shows up with her baby in a turban. You have not lived until you've seen hot dog in a turban. That is the cutest damn baby. And it's still bored. It's like, what do we have to do, okay? You're on Broadway, baby. Could you look less bored?
I really, this was hilarious because Portia comes in all camera ready, etc. And she enters this little class where there's like 3 women who are clearly the regulars. And this is perhaps the highlight of their week is Jitterbug class. And one of the women looks like she's been listening to Jewel for like 20 years. Like she, like that album came out in 97 and she just never stopped putting it on repeat, you know? And she is like happy. It is time for Jitterbug class. And then Portia walks in. You could tell she's just like, what's happening? What's happening in Jitterbug class? There's cameras here. What's happening? Yeah.
Finally, there's cameras here and they're not on me. I have tap danced to Jewel in my house all week for this. So I just keep writing that baby's face never changes because I keep waiting for this baby's face to change. And also, since who called her Dennis in a wig? Marlo, right? So rude.
I think so. It's so true.
But it's so true. It's so funny.
It's so true. I was thinking about that. Like, that was my takeaway. I was like, it really is. It's like Dennis in a little turban. It's like Dennis if Dennis were in Soap Dish.
I'm not the best baby in the world. Give me a little credit, will you? Credit for trying the best that I can at Jitterbug class.
I've heard that somewhere.
Oh, Soap Dish. So Kenya comes in with, you know, giant shoes and
like, yeah, wedges.
Yeah.
And the instructor is like, well, we're here at the Jitterbug Center for the Performing Arts. We will be dancing, so if you'd like to remove your shoes and do it barefoot. And Kenya's like, no, thanks. I can dance in my shoes. And Portia's like, really? You got to slay at Jitterbug class?
Yeah. Kenya's one of those assholes who won't take off their shoes at the bowling alley. Like, they won't wear the bowling alley shoes. Like, I hated those people. God, I hated those. And their shoes were always, like, payless, shitty-ass shoes anyway, you know? It's like, take off your shoes, okay? I work here. Do you think I want to be asking you for your fucking dirty-ass shoes? Take off your shoes.
Some women are like really, they have like a complex about being short. And so they will not take off their shoes. I'm just saying some. I'm not saying all women, okay? But, and I base this off of Kenya and Ashley from Princesses Luck Island. Thank you very much.
That's our women.
This is how I learn about women. Yes.
Yeah. Yikes. So then Portia is twerking with her baby, and little hot dog gets a hurt neck. So they basically go over so Kenya can have another excuse to cry for the cameras and tell someone else how mean her husband is, which he is a dick. I'll give her that.
Yeah.
What a dick that you chose. So she's over there crying about her husband, and she's basically going to do this in every scene. It's getting on my nerves. I want to see hot dog twerk more.
Yeah, I want to see hot dog twerk. I don't know if I, like, I feel bad for Kenya that, you know, everything has gone downhill for them. But at the same time, like, there's, like, if it, when you have a story arc, it's supposed to arc and not just, like, be the same, like, flatlining beat over and over again. So until something else, something new happens, I'm not ready to hear another, like, have another scene where we hear about how Mark doesn't touch her anymore.
Yeah, how your husband's mean. And then Kenya basically cries. And then she's like, okay, bye, thanks. I was a victim for 10 minutes. Oh, no.
Yeah.
It's like, no, how are you?
Out.
Yeah. So then we go over to Riley and Candy on their family trip to New York to drop off Riley in her banging apartment.
Yes, of course. In true Yolanda Foster style, Candy got Riley a sweet-ass apartment in New York City. Although it makes more sense. Like, I actually am more – I'm okay with it in this case because Riley is, like, 16 and living in the city, and I understand if she wants to give her daughter, like, a comfortable space. I didn't like when Yolanda gave Gigi her own apartment when she went to NYU because I feel like that's not part of the student experience, you know? Like – you're a college student, you should be in the dorms getting to know the other college students, not in some luxe apartment somewhere in the city, you know, being pretty.
Yeah. I don't know. Yolanda bothered me in general way more than Candy, so I don't know.
Yeah.
And also, I like Riley.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like Riley, it's funny to say this, but I feel like Riley has a lot more upside than Gigi, which is funny because Gigi's like the world's top supermodel. But I still think... It's a marathon, not a sprint, okay?
I know, that's weird, right? Gigi became this huge supermodel, because usually people say, you spoil your kids, they're never going to do anything. And then it worked for Gigi. I mean, Jesus Christ, give that girl a penthouse and an Alma today, and look at her. Look at her go. And you also the other one.
Yeah, the other one. I take it back, you know what, because I just realized I was projecting my issues with Yolanda onto Gigi. I have no issue with Gigi. God bless.
Yeah, Gigi was totally nice.
Yeah, I have no issues with Gigi. And, you know... I have no issues with the other one. I actually have some issues with the other one. I don't remember what they are. I feel like...
That's the son, everybody, Anwar.
You know what? I'm realizing my issues are just more projected Yolanda issues, so never mind.
Yeah, you can't be mad at the kids because of Yolanda. That's like walking to a pet store in a mall and getting mad at like the innocent little puppies. Get mad at the puppy mill, not the puppies.
You know? Yeah, yeah, exactly.
There, I said it, Yolanda Foster.
You did it. So, model mill. So, anyway, so Candy Todd.
Udder mill. She's an udder mill.
The udder mill. So Candy Todd, Kayla, and Riley are like touring around this apartment. And Candy is a good mom. I'm sorry, she's a good mom. You know, she's been sending Riley on summer programs to like Stanford and London, which I think is excellent. I think it's great that, you know, Candy has the means and therefore she is like, I'm going to invest in my daughter's future. I think that is so great. She's like, basically she wants her daughter to be like intellectually curious. I think that's fantastic. So I'm like super, super up on Candy. I've always been up on Candy, but like after hearing that, I just was really like, I think that's great. I think it's so great.
Yeah, whatever. I'm jealous. So Todd's like, wow, look at you, 16. You're already driving a Porsche. You have a high-rise apartment in the city. Wow. Okay, Todd. You know what? I would get this from someone who like came into this relationship not as like a production assistant.
That's
How
true.
About that?
Yeah.
Quiet down.
Yeah, so basically Riley wants to be a lawyer, all that stuff. And so Candy's also found someone named Jasmine, who's a friend of the family, who's going to be staying with Riley to sort of be a babysitter, like chaperone-esque. And Riley, of course, is now like learning the hard way that some things in life don't come easy, like ice.
Fucking ice. But this is a New York City thing too, because you remember on Real Housewives of New York when Bethany got her like $90 zillion apartment And Dorinda's like, oh my God, she got a pet and an ice machine. She got an ice maker. She doesn't even have to make her own ice. And we were like, what the hell kind of refrigerator doesn't have an ice maker? The kind in New York. What is with you New Yorkers? You just don't like ice? What the hell?
Well, sometimes you have it has the ability, but it doesn't have the hookup or something like that. It's like a whole thing. This apartment that I've been in for the past 2 years, it has it came with a fridge that has like a little ice thing and like a thing where you put your cup in the fridge door. And so it's like, you know, it could be ice or it could be water. And the water, it pours so slowly because it's got like a filter in there. So it's like a little trickle. It takes like about 30 seconds to fill up a cup. But I'm so excited by the functionality of it because I've never had that before ever in my life that I don't even use my Brita. I'm like, I pour very slow cups of water because I'm so excited about that feature.
Yeah, the ice or the water in the refrigerator door.
Yeah, sometimes, I don't know if this really has any bearing on what we're talking about.
First world cup of water.
Yeah, first world cup. I'm like, I want to have like a really good first world cup of water right now for my fridge door.
Yeah, and like, why do we trust a fridge door more than we trust a Brita? You know, God knows where that fucking fridge door. It's like on.
No, there's a filter. I got to put a filter in every, 2 months because I got a thing that pops up that's like, filter time. It's like Leanne Locken.
Change your filter, stupid.
Yeah, and you have to do a whole thing. You have to push this thing in.
You don't know what this refrigerator door did to me.
Not a filter. So Riley, so there's like a doorman, and Riley's like also learning that she has to tip doorman. And she's like, can I get a tipping allowance? And Kayla, poor Kayla, she really is sort of the runt of this family. She's not even mic'd for the scene for four people. Like, Ace is mic'd practically, but like Kayla isn't. She's like,
good luck you got an allowance. I never got an allowance in my life.
And Riley goes, then where do you get your money from? And Kayla's like, I work every day of my life. And Candy's like, you know that you have to spray down the shower, right, when you're done with it? And Riley's like, what? The hell? Why have to do this in my life? Kay's like, you have to do the shower. And then Riley's like, but I don't want to read in the new room.
I know, it's a Mumble Olympics. She's like, Kayla's like, I wash my room every single day and you guys still won't give me a mic to speak on the show.
So then they go up to the roof, and I mean, there's like the dumbest girl on the roof sunbathing and just moving her long hair. Okay, she's face down on the sunbathing chair thing, and she's face down on it, and she has long hair, so of course it's gonna like put it in a bun. I mean, I don't know why this really, but this really bothered me because her hair is hanging down into the gravel, and then she's swinging her hair back and forth over like the gravelly covering of the roof. Like, what the hell, idiot? Come on.
Yeah, it's like, sorry, I know that you've been in the cold all year up at Syracuse, but now that you're down here in the summer, in New York City for the summer, you have to like learn how to hold your hair on a rooftop deck, okay?
Yeah. That's really all I had to say about this scene. This girl made me so mad that that's all I could think about. I was like, why is she doing that to her hair on the on the rooftop? What's that girl doing?
I didn't even notice it, but I'm so glad you did.
It was infuriating.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a...
Let's begin our nighttime relaxation. You've never felt more... Feel your eyelids getting... Now let yourself lay back and get a good night of... When cold and flu symptoms won't let you sleep, ask for Night Nurse. Its unbeatable strength helps put cold and flu to bed. Only available at the pharmacy counter. For cold and flu relief, visit dayandnightnurse.co.uk/verify for verification. Always read the label.
Crappin's commercial.
So then let's go over to Nini's house. So this is where she's putting cheese on trays while Greg is, look, they're using rubber gloves to put cheese out, which as someone who just got Thanksgiving at cold time, you know, it's nice to see people using rubber gloves, but not when you take the rubber glove and you put it in your hand to blow it up and you go.
I know.
You just got your spit everywhere, Greg. Okay. Enjoy this cheese now.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, is this the first time Greg has seen a rubber glove? Like inflating the rubber glove into like a little ham turkey. That's like, as Kate Chastain would say, that's basic. Yeah.
I don't I couldn't even think of a Kate Chastain thing to say. I think it was just so... I think Kate Chastain in my head was so mortified watching Greg blow up a glove that she couldn't even say anything. Even my imaginary Kate is stunned.
And also, why are they putting on these like surgical gloves to put out pre-sliced like Colby cheese things from the supermarket? Okay, just because, like, dump, you know, it's just...
Because Nene probably doesn't tip. And like Candy says, if you don't tip people, then it's going to be hard to find people to help you. You know,
or film with you, because at this point she just has to rely on Marlo and Yovana to do her scenes with, because no one wants to film with her, which I think is great.
That is just sad, but Yovana, you are lucky. That is one lucky girl.
Well, we knew Yovana was going to be back because she was like the breakout star from last year. Like, everyone wanted more Yovana. I mean, last year, man, remember Shamari? I had almost forgotten about Shamari.
Poor Shamari. I hope she's not bitter at home.
She's probably, I feel like she's not bitter at home, but she might be drunk at home. Just puking. So Nene is once again being the victim and saying how Cynthia's interviews were so hurtful. As if Nene does not have the sharpest tongue on this cast and goes to every single media outlet whenever she can to talk about whatever.
Yeah, and last week Nene in New York City walked away from Marlo because Marlo, we get a big clip of Marlo trying to get Nene to apologize to Cynthia. Do you think that you have anything to do with this relation? Come on, Nene, don't you think you have anything to do with this problem? And Nene just finally gets up and walks away. And she said, I walked away from her because she was badgering me, okay? She was badgering me after the year I've been through with Cynthia.
It was not a badger. It was just Marlo asking questions like normal people do, okay? So but
that's what Nene does. She's like, you're a bad friend. You're a bad friend for being nice to this person who's hurt me so much. And now both of these girls go out as Nene's, you know, army or whatever.
Yeah. Well, Nene is like, she's like, well, you know, Cynthia has a side to her that you guys don't know about. And she doesn't want anyone to know about it. I'm like, what? A side where she, like, defends herself? It's like, really? That's not a side. That's called, like,
defending yourself,
getting self-worth. Yeah, it's not a side. A side would be if Cynthia was just like going around creating lies and, I don't know, shooting heroin. Those are sides. Yes. Those are hidden sides.
A side is generally made of potatoes in my preference sheet.
Yeah.
Speaking of Kate Chastain. So Yovana comes over and Nini's going off about Cynthia. And Yovana's like, well, this is why I struggle to tell you, because I know you're going to a spiritual advisor, but I'm struggling with this. But I went to the Cynthia Bailey wine cellar and she was going in on you. And Marla goes, do you have receipts? And then Yovana says, oh, I have receipts. Yeah. Where are your receipts? I don't see any receipts. Are you going to whip out a text? Are you going to pull anything out? No, you have no receipts. You have word of mouth. You have what? Mm. No.
It looked like she was reaching for something. It looked like she was reaching for something on her phone, which made me believe that she wrote it down after Cynthia said it. But I don't know.
Yeah, I wrote it in my notes on my phone. That is my
that's
receipts.
The receipt. She's like, actually, I do have a receipt. She charged me $48, and I was wondering if anyone could reimburse me because I went there solely to collect bones for you guys. No? Okay. All right. I'll absorb the cost.
Yeah, Cynthia must have sent her a bill for those glasses of wine because she is pissed for no reason.
Yeah. Well, here, Cynthia went in on Nene, and this is what she said. She said, being friends with Nene is toxic and a burden. Whoa. Wow. Oh,
shocker.
Wow. That was, wow. She really went in. She went in. And Nene's like, so there's Cynthia and there's Sin-Sin, okay? And Sin-Sin is a hood rat. I'm like, she said you were being friends with you is toxic and you're a burden. That's not like representative of like some trashy aspect of a personality to say that. She is expressing how she felt about your friendship, and from what we can tell here at home, it looks like she was absolutely right.
Yeah, it's like a Diet Coke getting mad at you for saying it has aspartame in it. Like, stop arguing with me, stupid can. So then Marla's like, well, we'll see what happens at the Bailey Q. Are you going, Yovana? So we've got Nene's army marching off to the annual Toyotathon Bailey Q.
So then we go to Portia, who comes into her house like a baby bird. She goes, Ma!
And then her mother comes down like she's dressed. Ma! She's dressed for the Oscars. She's like, "Hello, Portia. I was just casually babysitting your baby. Like, that mom is always dressed to the nines and ready to rumble.
Yeah, actually, Miss Diane looked amazing. I actually thought she was, I was like, this woman is gorgeous. She is a gorgeous woman. And I love, she had her hair all up. And it's natural. It's like just white. It's like a shock of white hair. She looks like, is it Storm from the X-Men? Yeah. I'm very for Miss Diane.
Ma! Yeah. Ma!
And then Miss Diane comes down and opens her mouth, and there's a bunch of chewed food, and Portia has her after work snack. She's like, well, little baby hot dog is still asleep, and you need to get a nanny because I have things to do, basically. But I'll still take care of your baby. Don't worry. And so Portia gets to take a nap. And, you know, that is a mother who's spoiling the kid too much, because Portia's like, why would I get a nanny? You've been here every day. Like,
yeah, exactly. You know? I mean, what else is Diane doing? As you said earlier,
she's
what
running
else
a
is
business.
She...
Hello, Portia just told us she's running
what
a business.
What business is that?
I don't know. No idea.
Well, why doesn't Diane just, I mean, I guess they talk about nannies, but Diane should be like, listen, I raised you two snots. Okay, get a nanny. It's okay. Yeah, well, it'll be all right.
She does say she wants to be a part of the process because Portia's too busy and she just needs to pick somebody. And Portia's like, excuse you, but I'm not going to have my baby all scratched up again.
Oh.
Did you hear her say that? She got. I don't remember that part of the
story. I heard
story.
The word nanny and I just stopped listening, honestly. I don't know what they talked about.
Yeah. So her baby got a scratch from the last nanny. And so Portia's not going to just trust anybody. So then it's the day.
Portia needs to get pregnant again. Because from what I hear from parents, right, is that, and it's even in a commercial now for like Huggies or for some diaper, that's basically the first baby, the parents like put on a pedestal, like, no one touched my baby, you know? And then the second baby, you're like, oh, whatever. You like leave it on like your stovetop, you know, next to like a boiling thing. So she just needs to fast forward to that phase of her life so she can just start moving forward.
Yeah. The second baby, you're like, a scratch. That's it. It didn't break its arm. Okay. Come back tomorrow. Here's, you know, here's your schedule for the week.
So now it's the day of Cynthia's Bailey Q, and wow, the producers were really mean to Eva. They put like a camera in her fridge, and they shot her from this crazy low angle that was like her stomach, her pregnant stomach, like first and foremost, like right there, and then like under chin. I was like, listen, I mean, this is just rude at this point.
Really, I thought it was very nice to Eva. I mean, they put a camera in the biggest room in her house. I was like, oh, that's sweet. So the music's like, to the flow, 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 to the flow, 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 going to the flow. And it's like Eva taking out groceries.
I know.
Party get down, guys. So then we see Nene checking her mail in a power suit PJ.
And she's like, blue. Yeah, and she's wearing like Stephanie Holman's wig, Stephanie Holman's new wig that she's been sporting on Dallas. Nene's wearing it now.
Yeah, it was a very odd checking the mail outfit, but glad Nene's contributing. You've contributed a cheese plate and a mail check to this episode. Thanks for stopping by for your $20 zillion that you're getting this year.
Thanks for supporting the USPS. They need the advertising.
Yeah, especially since they only get their mail right like 30% of the year. What is it? They lose like 30% of their
mail. They lose 30% of the mail, apparently.
According to
Ian Lockham mail stats.
So then Kenya's pretending that she knows how to cook and she's cutting a lobster tail.
Yeah. She's like, I thought I'd bring lobster, even though some people might be more familiar with crabs.
At least they're getting some. So then Portia is talking to Lauren on the phone, and they did Lauren the favor of not putting Portia's assistant Lauren on the bottom of Chiron, which is nice.
Yeah.
So basically she's telling her sister that she's taking the baby. Which, great.
That's what I love. When, you know, I'm not going to go into it. But Candy, she arrives. She goes to Kenya's house first to pick her up to go to this Bailey Q. So she shows up and is like, girl. I don't even know why she said girl. That might be just how she enters the house. I just wrote down, Kenya says girl.
So Kenya's telling her that she has this shady gift for somebody because Eva told Portia that she was afraid to bring her kids around me. And then she brought me a doll and now I'm going to give it back to somebody else. Like,
yeah.
the struggle.
I was excited for it. I was like, ooh, I love how messy this is getting.
Yeah, she's so lame. She's like going after the little fish, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, some fish. At least someone's going after a fish.
That's true. Okay.
I'm all for fishing.
So yeah. Then Eva brings a guy over. So let's go to the BBQ. So she's bringing a guy over, and Eva's wearing this pair of shorts. Okay, you know how when I wear shorts, I have big thighs, so my shorts, it's like my thighs are eating my shorts, and then my shorts go up in the middle, and it looks like an upward V. Her thighs are doing the opposite, and so she just has like a big white tail coming from between her legs, and I don't know, but come on, Eva, make an effort. We started this with the fridge cam, and now this is how you're following it up.
So what you're saying is that her thighs are rejecting the cloth.
Yes, which maybe I'm projecting my own jealousy onto Eva. Might be. You guys, spirituality and energy, that's what this episode's about.
Yeah. So there's a little bit of a drama because, of course, Cynthia told everyone no babies allowed because since everyone has about 10 babies at this point, she didn't want this to be a baby party, right? And understandably so, because then it's like they can't really do the show the way they're supposed to do the show because then it's like a lot of doting, a lot of distractions, etc. But then, of course, Portia had to bring PJ because she couldn't find anyone to take care of PJ. And Cynthia had already told Kenya she couldn't bring Brooklyn. So now Kenya's mad at Cynthia because then Cynthia calls back. Kenya would be like, you know what? You can bring Brooklyn. And now Kenya's like, it's okay. I got it worked out already. Thank you. Bye.
Yeah, she's all mad. So then Eva is just spouting a lot of, you know, nonsense at Kenya. She's like, well, welcome to motherhood late in life over the hill. This is what happens, old person. That's it, senior. There you go, baby old lady with the baby. It's like, jeez.
Yeah. Well, she was like, I mean, well, it's funny because last time I heard everybody had something to say about where I do and don't bring my babies, meaning that, like, they don't seem to want to also have it come their way. So then one of the most exciting members of the extended cast arrives.
Mel. Hi, I'm Mel.
Hi, it's me, Mel. I'm from the same voice family as Kayla
and Riley
and Robin.
And then I got angry. When I got angry, I turned to Kristen. Seriously.
So,
and when I want to hold you accountable, I turn into Teddy. Ugh. Hi, I'm Teddy.
Hi, I'm Teddy. So then Tanya arrives and she's like, Happy Ballyhoo! Happy Ballyhoo!
Tanya, my note for Tanya was Tanya enters as Tanya. She really entered like this.
She's been waiting 364 days for this moment. Oh, I can't wait for the next year's Ballyhoo. We're going to make it an annual tradition. Yes!
Oh, Tanya. So Kenya is reminding us why she's mad at Eva because, you know, Kenya got a bone. Kenya's got a bone. So she's like, at this point, I only know Eva to be a shady person. If someone tells another person they don't want their kids around me as a mother, that's a serious blow. Okay, Kenya's just going to say that for everything she's mad at now. As a mother.
As a mother, I resent that you are out of cold brew Starbucks as a mother.
She's like, I'm not the guy in a creepy van with no windows as a mother. I'm like, no, but you're the creepy lady who lives in the ditch, okay? It's not much better.
But you're the annoying mother who's saying, as a mother.
As a mother.
As a mother. Then Yovana shows up. She looks like she's in a girl group, okay? She's wearing like this red like suit, you know, like blazer and pants, but then she's wearing a crop top also. Like I was expecting her to like bust out into like a dance move and start singing like a song, you know?
I was expecting her boobs to write a complaint letter saying, ouch, you're hurting me in every outfit that you wear. She straps her boobs down so hard. They just look like they hurt. Leave your boobs alone. Let your boobs live.
Let them live, Yovana. You're that bitch. Let them be that breast.
So Cynthia is greeting her Yovana outside, and she's basically like, you know what, look, I invited Yovana because it's my job, but also, you know, despite Nini, and not to spite her, but I invited her despite her. And she's like, she's been super cool to me and very supportive of my wine cellar job.
The wine cellar, which, like, I like that Cynthia has some sort of like subterranean space that's like full of like mold and dust at this point. That's going to pass as her like entrepreneurial endeavor, like the stupid wine cellar.
Like, that's, but really, it's just mal working there. It's like, hi, welcome to the
wine. It's just a hole in the ground. It's like those tunnels in Vietnam.
Yeah. It's just a place to keep mal. So then we get a clip of Yovana saying she has receipts but never producing receipts. So here we go. So all the ladies come together and then bang, boom, bang, bang. Let's start fighting, everybody.
Yeah, let's start fighting. You started off running because I don't know where you are in the notes. I lost so many notes here
because once I got to this party, I was like, oh my God, I was typing so fast. And I was like, what am I even typing right now? So go ahead.
I got myself oriented. Basically, okay. Yovana is, she starts saying that, you know, that Nini is mad that Cynthia showed more loyalty to Kenya than to Nini in that whole stupid situation last year with that party, whatever, that like random Seagram's party where Kenya for like 1 second had like a peach drink. So, you know, so they're like, no, I didn't have more loyalty. And it's like, you know, and like, what are we? Are we children? We're adults. Da, 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 da. And Yovana's like, listen, we all get it. Like when you're pissed off at your BFF, you talk shit. And then all the women are like, never. I never talk shit about my BFF when I'm mad at them. I'm like, you all do. That's why you've been here for like 12 seasons.
And she's like, well, but you gave all those interviews. And it's the same as like when we went to dinner and you talked about Nini. And she's like, I didn't talk about her. I told you how I felt. And if you want to go back to her and tell her, you can tell her because I did not give you some tea. And so don't act like I found you under a rock because that's not the case.
Yeah. Which, by the way, also, if when Yovana says, listen, we all talk shit about our friends when we're mad. Like, why does that apply to Cynthia, where Cynthia has to be understanding, yet it doesn't apply for Nini, where Nini has to be understanding?
Oh, yeah.
Or unless she was saying, maybe she wasn't saying it that way. Maybe she was saying that you guys have to get together because, like, you guys are both mad at each other when, like, you're just venting because you care about each other. Maybe that's what it was.
No, Cynthia was saying, you know, we saw it was awkward because they saw each other on the Pride float, and it's still awkward. And Eva said, yeah, because we had just seen that interview where Nini was saying that Cynthia's weak and all that stuff. And so then Yovana's like, well, you gave all those interviews, you know. And when we went to dinner, you were talking about Nini. So it's not like you're so innocent. And that's right. Cynthia's like, nah. So then Portia arrives in like a crazy, crazy gown with her baby and people taking care of the baby, right? There was someone there helping her, right?
It's like Lauren.
And oh, yeah, Lauren and somebody else too, I think. And so they bring in like a whole pack and play.
Yeah. It's a whole thing. Yeah. So they come in and then Portia sits down and then sees like a tray of hot dogs. She goes, oh, I know you did not. Not today. Not today.
I told her I didn't even want hot dogs here today. This better not be Hot Dog Factory.
Yeah.
So then Kenya goes back to her stupid Jetsons car for the gift. Which apparently she's learned how to work the door now. So then everybody's just saying hi to Portia and being nice. And Kenya brings in the gift. And Portia goes, oh my God, a gift. Let me see. And she reads the card. I hope the energy of this gift makes your daughter smile. Huh. And Kenya says, well, she had another home first. And Portia goes, who's she live with? Which it's I had so to Kenya play three times.
Who's she live with? So Kenya explains like what the origin story, and Portia's like, you're gonna put my baby in the shade? She doesn't need any more shade. She's already a shady baby.
So she's like, you gotta fix this, Kenya. You are gonna fix it. We're about to fix this right now. So she marches outside and she's like, she regifted this to me, Eva. And so everybody starts getting on Kenya, and Kenya's like, well, she questioned my energy.
Eva's basically,
no one would question your energy if you were just missing the K. Okay, what if Kenya just did do that? She's like, I'm Enya now.
What if Enya was just there? Enya was like,
Kenya would even find a way to fight with fucking Enya.
Okay. Well, she'd put up her hand up and be like, sail away, sail away, sail away.
sail away.
Enya would win every argument because she would just make that noise, that like Ah, to the point where they would just be so confounded that they just would leave.
I love that song. Now it's stuck in my head. What an orchestra.
Oh, I have Enya's. I have Enya's greatest hits.
Well, that's it. It's one song.
Sail away, sail away, sail away.
She also has Book of Days, which was featured on the How's Far and Away go? Soundtrack. It goes, Book of Days. And then she also has that song that's like if we were
true. Just sound like me, like going to check the mail. I'm like, so far.
She also has, she has that song that was like really popular after 9/11. That was like, how did that song go again? It was like a hit on the radio because it was like, life. I don't remember how it went. It was like something about trees. And yes, biggest hits. I'm looking it up.
Sail away.
That's okay. Orinoco. Only time. Only time. Well, she has that Lord of the Rings song. May it be. May it be. They're basically all the same.
So Kenya is trying to fight with Eva, but Eva's like, what did this baby do? Jesus Christ. And Kenya's like, you question my energy. And she's like, oh God, that is not what I even said. She's like, that's what Portia said you said. And Eva says, well, she's wrong too then, because I didn't say anything negative about you. And then we see what she said at the baby party. And she was just saying, look, I know these group events can get crazy and I didn't want to bring my kid into it.
Yeah.
Which,
and Cynthia is the one who says, yeah, you want to make sure the energy's right. So it's Cynthia who said it.
Yes. Cynthia is guilty of a lot of stuff. And I think they really get Cynthia in a good, I think they make the point to Cynthia later. So anyway, Kenya's like, well, you said the reason you didn't want to bring your kids is you're unclear about my energy and you're making a problem with me and you do not want a problem with me.
Yeah. And then Eva's like, well, if I got your feelings hurt, oh, I didn't get my feelings hurt because I would have to care about you to get my feelings hurt.
Well, you're stomping your feet and having a fit and like taking the effort to re-gift something. It looks like you're putting in the effort, you know. So Eva did a good job here. She was just like, appreciate. Also, I have to say, the music is amazing. This is like peak Desperate Housewives Danny Elfman music for this scene. It was really, really good.
I didn't notice.
Yeah, it was the old school like orchestral Housewives fight. Like Terry Hatcher might have murdered someone, but she's riding a bike through the neighborhood right now. It's like while they're fighting. So Kenya's like, I'm still getting to know you, and I'm not clear. It's like, how much clarity do you need already? Jesus. And Eva never stops fanning herself. She's also wearing like a big turban. She's just fanning herself, staring at Kenya like, you're a fucking moron.
Exactly. And Kenya then tries to drum up issues with Cynthia and Eva and starts like trying to remind Cynthia. I forget what it was, but like whatever.
So
what
Eva said that since she heard that Cynthia was paying that dude to date her last year.
Yeah. So Cynthia's like, yeah, but we moved past that child. And Kenya's like, why are you interrupting me? I'm talking. And Cynthia's like, you made that point already. You need to stop, Cynthia. You need to stop. It was just like, she was just trying to like find a fight with anyone. And then Eva's like, it had nothing to do with pointing at fingers at Kenya. Because she's talking about this whole, she's like basically saying, end of story about this whole issue with the baby. It had nothing to do with pointing fingers at Kenya. I have said it for the 15th time. You can receive it. You can leave it. I care not. You can enjoy your noodles.
And then Portia goes, I didn't see noodles.
Meanwhile, there was like prominent noodles on everyone's plate.
Fucking Portia just cares about the noodles.
They did look good.
So Marlo has come in, and everyone's like shushing her so the fight can continue. And she's like, all right, I'll just sit here and watch. So she's been sitting there. And Candy's like, well, anyway, I love your new wig, Marlo. And she's like, thank you, darling.
Yeah.
So then Cynthia's like, yeah, I was just saying, Marlo, you know, we had dinner, and you're like a beacon of light. I mean, your positivity. Except when we talk about Eva. It's like Cynthia's trying to pass the baton. And exactly. So this is Cynthia totally doing what they accused her of doing, which is like, you fight people, you know?
Right.
I won't have to do anything. You fight them. You fight them. So Marlo's like, you know what? I'm past energy, and I'm just looking at actions now. Hi, I'm Teddy.
Yeah.
And Eva's like, well, I was looking at your actions in the past, which were shitty. So there. She's like, well, I'm just saying what you guys are thinking. And she goes, no, you say mean shit because you're mean. And she's like, you don't say a lot of shit you want to say because you're fake.
Right. Maybe. And then Marlo then just starts like leaning into her like favorite thing, which is to say, I just hope you're not living above your means. Sit there with your baby and relax. Don't live above your means. Don't live above your means. I'm like, Marlo, why are you so concerned about Eva living above her means? Okay.
Marlo, we don't even know where you live.
You
live
like in an igloo. Yeah.
We've seen her house one
like
time.
7 years ago. 7 years ago when she had like a vault with three guns in it. Before we were like it was like an obviously rented place. Like we don't even see where Marlo lives. We don't even see the casket she emerges from every night.
So she's going low and saying, you're living above your means. And then Eva's going low and saying, well, me and my husband and my child are fine, okay? Because you can't have a baby. You don't have any babies, so you don't know what it's like. You've never been pregnant, so you don't know what that life is. I'm going to go. I have a nanny. And Kenya's like, well, that's not fair. I have a nanny to relieve, too. We all have kids. It's like, God, Kenya. Kenya's like, why does she get to leave work early?
Yeah.
I'm sitting here trying to make a fight with someone who is, like, slaying me. And I have to stay here.
Exactly. And Marlo is still like calling after Eva. You're still a liar, though. You're still a fraud. Stop living above your means, darling. Stop living above your means, darling.
Yeah.
Like, Marlo, I think you need to get like a more cutting line. I feel like saying stop living above your means is just it just doesn't have like the real impact that she wants it to have.
This is America. We're all living above our means.
It's
It's called credit and keeping the economy going.
Yeah.
Until the bubble bursts. Okay.
Yeah.
And we're exactly. In a red line, so whatever.
So then they start talking about Cynthia and her friends, and Candy is like, ah! Because Candy is doing a lot of her laugh where she goes, ah! So she's basically saying that Cynthia has a lot of aggressive friends, and they say a lot of, like, aggressive things, and Cynthia lets them get away with it. And Mal is like, yeah, like Kenya, like, she talks to you in a negative way. And Kenya's like, listen, Snuffleupagus, I am not at all. I am not negative at all. She was saying I couldn't bring my baby because as a mother, I was offended. But she's very strong and opinionated, so it's not me being the aggressive one, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, so then Marlo jumps in, and she keeps on Cynthia about how she acts like she's got this passive personality, but she has another side to her. You know, she's just basically repeating everything Nini told her to. And right. She's like, and you have to admit, you do get close to strong personalities like Nini, like Kenya. And Candy's like, yeah, you do have friends that are more aggressive. So they say things that you might not want to say, which I think is a perfect way to nail it. And Cynthia totally does do that. She's totally guilty of it. But so what? Good for her. You know,
not
getting your hands dirty. She'd win Big Brother.
Yeah, it's like, okay, so maybe she's with people who will say the things that she doesn't have to. That means she figured it out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's called Welcome to Being Gay, okay?
So Kenya's like, well, you should have had that conversation on the phone. This one, I don't know what that meant, but she said, this woman just told me I couldn't bring my baby. I was like, oh, Jesus, shut up already. You are struggling so hard. Meanwhile, the new cast member is like, yes, she just left, but she just seems so unbothered. She fanned herself, she ate, and she was like, let this hag do whatever the fuck she wants. I'm not going to be part of this. Bye.
Yeah. So then they all go inside. There's like basically Portia's baby has taken over the living room, and Cindy's like, can you get out of here? Thanks. So then it's they're gonna do like a game time, because as we all know, this is one of the hallowed traditions of this 1 year traditional event. And so this time they're gonna be awarding medals to everyone. So the first medal is for best twerker, which leads to Shamia and Portia sort of like dueling it out, and then Cynthia trying to twerk, and then they're basically like, she looks like she's getting electrocuted.
Yes, yeah. Kenya's like, it looks like she's just, you know, on an electric chair.
Yeah.
And then we get to Shadier Award. Shamia wins that award. So then the next award is the shadiest. Who's the shadiest? And Candy's
Candy,
go ahead.
No, Candy was like, Eva won that last year. And Marlo goes, no, Eva won living above her means. Living above her means. Got her again. Living above her means.
So Cynthia's like, okay, Marlo's obviously going to win this, right? So they give it to Marlo. And then the next award is Best Read. Mm-hmm. And everyone votes for Eva for how she took care of Marlo last year. And it's between Eva and Kenya. And Kenya's like, she's no match for me. And Cynthia immediately goes over and just gives the award to Kenya.
Yeah.
Cheating. Cheating.
Well, they said because Eva wasn't there, it has to go to Kenya. And then thirstiest person, someone who tries the hardest, does the most. And then someone just yells out, Tanya. Which I'm assuming was Yovana who yelled. It was Marlo.
Oh, I thought I wrote down Marlo, but I don't know. Poor Tanya. Leave Tanya alone. She has a hibachi grill, and she will use it.
That is literally the thirstiest.
So then Kenya comes
putting
in.
A hibachi grill in your basement so that way you can shoot scenes.
That is the thirstiest. But she stood up to Nini, and she actually went against Nini for no reason. Nini went for her. Never mind. I forgot. Yeah.
Actually, Tanya probably is like quite literally the thirstiest, because you know how much sodium is in that hibachi food? That's like a lot. She's probably like really needing a glass of water at all times.
I think Tanya should have won for most employed, because Tanya's like the only one of them like with a real job.
She like runs a tech company or something.
Well, except Candy.
Yeah.
So then, oh God, the Alexa just turned on. What does she want? What did I just say that would turn her on? She just blooped at me. She like gave me the red and green light, like do 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 do.
It's probably Tanya. It's probably Tanya's company. Well, imagine like. He's like, hi, this is Tanya speaking to you through your Alexa. I just want to say that we're all employed and we're all happy. Great, thanks. Thanks for having me on your show.
Hey, Tanya, would you turn on the lights?
Which one? Upstairs, downstairs? We could do them all. We could have a whole thing. We want to try out different looks? We could do it all. She's like a very aggressive digital assistant.
By the way, can you tell I'm back in Texas? I sound like I'm on a boat. It's like... Do you hear that?
Oh yeah, I do hear that now. I didn't hear it the entire time.
I'm wondering if I'm making people crazy. If I am,
I couldn't hear it.
And I'll get a new chair, okay? But I like this one. It's from an antique store, okay? So anyway,
antique chairs make for the best podcasting chairs.
Yeah. So Porsche is like, the thirstiest one is right next to me, and she just puts the award on Yovana, and Mal's like, yes, bravo, bravo.
So then the next one is for most insecure, which is supposed to like inspire a lot of cattiness, like you're an insecure bitch, but Marlo kind of hijacks it and tries to make it empowering. She's like, I have insecurities and I think so do you all. I have big feet and my edges are really thin. And then everyone starts like sharing, and Shamia's like, well, I had a C-section that left me with a scar, and I'm like really insecure about that. And Candy's like, I see. No, Riley, I have dark circles. And then Kenya's like, I guess my insecurity is never finding the love that is unconditional, because my mother abandoned me and I've got a husband who doesn't want to touch me, and flowers wilt when I walk by them. I guess that's my insecurity.
And then sad music. And Portia's like, why do you feel like that? Why do you feel like that now? And where are the noodles? And Portia tells us it's heartbreaking because she mentioned to me in private that they're not having sex. Or she's mentioned it to everybody. She won't shut up.
So Marlo is like, ooh, I'm gonna take advantage of this to like rebrand myself. And she's like, I want you all to know that you're beautiful and you're everything. And even if you don't like me, and even if you have doormats that are too small for your doors, you're all beautiful.
And Candy goes, why do I feel like I'm in the help right now? You were smart. You was kind. You was important.
And then they all start to laugh. And that's where the episode ends.
Oh, man. Yeah, that was a pretty fun episode.
Yeah, the first half was a little trying. But then once they all got together, it was like I was laughing out loud. And, you know, actually, I have to say, a lot of the things that Eva said really made me laugh out loud. So that made me happy.
Yeah, I think Eva's doing a really good job.
Yeah,
I think
they all are,
but man, the older ones need to like get with the... I hate saying older ones because I'm not age-shaming. I just mean the ones who have been around forever. Kenya, Nini, Marlo. Come on, just like... not Marlo.
They get rid of...
Actually, Marlo did try something new by being like doing the Mean Girls ending for this.
I think my only issue is with Nini. I think everyone else is doing exactly what they should be doing.
Well, there you go, everybody. Have a great day, week,
post-holiday. Yeah. Sorry, Christmas? I just burped into the mic, everyone.
Gross.
I had a tea burp. I had a green tea burp.
Gross. Well, at least it was antioxidant burp. Yeah. Hey, everybody, we sure love you. We will talk to you later.
Bye. Bye.
Let's begin our nighttime relaxation. You've never felt more... Feel your eyelids getting... Now let yourself lay back and get a good night of... When cold and flu symptoms won't let you sleep, ask for Night Nurse. Its unbeatable strength helps put cold and flu to bed. Only available at the pharmacy counter. For cold and flu relief, visit dayandnightnurse.co.uk/verify for verification. Always read the label.
Grab yourself a Now TV Sky Cinema Pass, and you and the family can experience Christmas telly with all the trimmings. Enjoy the latest blockbusters, including The Grinch, Mary Poppins Returns, and your favourite Christmas classics. And with over 40 movies added every month, there's always something new to discover. All for just £11.99 a month. So, what's your TV got for you this Christmas? Search Now TV. 18 plus content streaming this Christmas. Month pass auto renews unless cancelled. Terms apply.